Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
John chapter 10, verse 17 says this, "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, and that I might take it again. I lay it down, and then afterwards I'll be taking my life back again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I choose to do this. No man takes it from me." That's not the Romans. It's not the Sanhedrin. It's nobody can take it from me. I have the power, in verse 18, to lay it down, and I also have the authority, the power to take it up again. "This command have I received of my Father." And then Matthew 26, 53. He said, "Do you not realize, or do you not think, that I cannot now pray to my Father?" I can pray right now. And this is while he is on the cross. Well, before he gets to the cross, he says, "Don't you realize that I could pray right now, and He would provide for me more than 12 legions of angels to rescue me? Do you realize that it's not the Romans dragging me to the cross? It's not the Sanhedrin who fixed this, who went through 6 trials and brought false witness after false witness? It's none of that. Those are circumstances." I choose to give my life right now because I'm giving it. What these people don't realize is I'm giving my life as a ransom and as a substitute to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. I will lay it down. I will take it again. A legion, by the way, is 6,000. So 12 legions, 72,000 angels could show up, more than 72,000, and rescue him at any second that he chose. Others might be the instruments of his death. God allowed the Romans and the Jewish hierarchy to be the instruments of his death. But Jesus must choose to be taken, and he must choose to be crucified, and afterwards he will choose to be risen from the dead. In order to obey the Father's will, remember they planned this back in Acts chapter 2, they planned this before eternity began, before time ever began, before eternity began, before time began, they planned this out, that the Father planned it, and the Son said, I will do it. And the Holy Spirit said, afterwards I'll come to earth and I will evangelize the good news of what Christ has done. But in order for him to obey the Father's plan and to save others, he must choose not to save himself. And that's the key to remember this morning. Jesus chose not to save himself. He was in heaven before his birth in Bethlehem, and he lived there with his Father in eternity, and they lived in incredible, majestic glory, and they were surrounded by millions of angels who worshipped and adored them. He had everything you could possibly imagine. There was nothing that he did not have. There was no pleasure he could not experience. And yet he chose to leave it all and come to earth. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have chose to save himself. He could have thought it over and said, "Wow, 33 years, I got to go through all of that? I got to live with those people? I got to watch all that iniquity and sinfulness going on around me constantly. I have to suffer and die on a cross. Why don't I just choose to save myself?" He would not. And even after he was born, He lived in Nazareth for 30 years, and it came time for his ministry to begin, his public ministry to begin, around the age of 30. And he was in Nazareth. He's got his family there. He's got his work there. He works there. His job is there. All of his friends are there. All of everything he knows about life is there in Nazareth. He's been there for many, many years. He could choose, I'm not going, I'm not getting involved in a public ministry. I'm not quitting my job. I'm not leaving my family. I'm not doing those things. I'm not going to say goodbye to my friends. I'm attached to these things. I'm not going to do that. The temptation is there. It would be for us. A little voice in the back of the mind saying, save yourself. Don't go. Don't do this. You're giving up so much. You're going to quit your job? What are you going to do when you turn 65? How are you going to retire? What about the 401k? What about all the other things? Save yourself. In the early years when he was preparing to enter the ministry, he was in the wilderness, you know, for 40 days. The Father had him out there fasting and praying and preparing his heart for what he was about to face. And he was fasting, and the devil comes along and says, look at those nice stones over there. Why don't you make them bread and eat? I know the Father said to fast, but you're the Son of God. You can make those stones into bread. You could eat, and you could relieve yourself of these hunger pains. You could save yourself any more discomfort. And our Lord, of course, you know the story. Man shall not live by bread alone, but whatever the word of God is, whatever God's word says to him. We go through Jesus' life countless times. He could have saved himself, and he didn't. Countless times he could have avoided crowds and avoided people who wanted to kill him, but he didn't. The devil spoke to Peter at the end of the 3 years, when Jesus said to Peter and the others, he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem now. I'm going to suffer and die. And when Peter heard this, what was his response? Jesus, save yourself. Don't go there. Let's avoid Jerusalem. Let's go back to Capernaum. Let's go somewhere else. Save yourself. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because he knew where that thought that Peter had came from. It wasn't Peter that was the devil. It was the thought that he had. It came from the wrong kingdom. The kingdom that's always saving itself. Then we get to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is in the garden and he's so close now to the cross, and the forces of hell are upon him. And he is being assailed by amazing millions of demons that want him to do one thing in Gethsemane. Save yourself. Don't get arrested. Let's get out of here. Let's not do this. Let's not drink the cup the Father gave you to drink. Let's not follow through with this crazy plan. Save yourself, Jesus. Don't do it. Save yourself. Then he was brought to trial. 6 different trials, and they all lied about him and told all kinds of things against him that weren't true. And then he stood before Pilate, and Pilate didn't want to, at that time, have him killed. Pilate's wife was involved in this. She didn't want to see Jesus die, and she was begging her husband to find a way to let him go, find a way to just to release him and not to be involved with this thing. And Pilate stood there and he questioned Jesus and he said, just say something, Jesus. Give me something I can use. He opened not his mouth. He wouldn't save himself. He would not save himself. And Pilate said, if you don't say something, I'm going to have to crucify you. He said, you don't have the power to do that. I'm giving myself. But the devil's message was always the same, right to the end. In Matthew 27:39, after he's on the cross, and he's suffering, He's bleeding. And those that passed by him blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple in 3 days, and can build it back in 3 days, save yourself. Save yourself." Gee, it's like he hadn't heard that before. Save yourself. "And if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." The message is still the same. Save yourself. "If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then maybe we'll believe him." They wouldn't have. But the message hasn't changed. Save yourself, Jesus. Save yourself. If he had done that once, you and I wouldn't be here this morning. We'd be out there in the world somewhere heading for hell. Jesus refused to stay to save himself. Instead, he surrendered to the Father's plan and stayed on the cross. Philippians 2 and verse 7, he made himself into nothing. Keno is the word, K-E-N-O-O in the Greek, makes himself of no reputation, means that he abandoned his rights to be treated any better than he was being treated. Says, "You can't, you know, I'm a king. You can't treat me like this. Don't you know who I am?" He abandoned that and took upon himself the form of a bond servant. That's a slave who volunteered himself to be a slave. And he came in the likeness of a man. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He would not save himself. He emptied himself of all the rights and privileges of who he was, became a slave to the Father's will. He would not save himself. In application, you and I have the same temptation every day of our Christian lives. We can follow Jesus, we can surrender to God's plan, or we can save ourselves. It comes up all the time. That's why Luke 9:23, he said to them all, "If a man will choose to come after me, let him deny himself." Not save himself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Because whoever will save himself, in verse 24, says, "Save his life or save himself," he'll lose it. But whoever will surrender his life for my sake will find it.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.